We trust that the weather's a little better there than it is here. I was telling the folks earlier, we had another minus 28 last night. And we're hoping that's the last minus 28 we have for the rest of the year. It'll only get better. For a few weeks now, we've been looking at a theme, a thought, how to prepare to meet God in 2021. And we've suggested that the way we're looking at preparation is to take the warnings of Scripture and heed the warnings. We found out that this little phrase, take heed, is found in the Scriptures over 100 times, and it simply means be on alert, be careful, look closely, give special attention. And we've suggested through these last few weeks that, and as we've looked at some verses, take heed to salvation. Well, it's kind of like this. If you get that one wrong, it doesn't matter what you get right. That is basic. That is foundational. Salvation doesn't come through any other name. Salvation doesn't come by any other person. Salvation doesn't come any other way. There's only one way, one person, one name. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't apologize for that. All roads don't lead to heaven. There's one road that leads to heaven, and only one. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Your church is not going to get you to heaven. Your family is not going to get you to heaven. Your ethics or your good works or your ambition or even your determination or your will is not going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to have forgiveness, one way to have peace with God, one way to have your sins removed so that you can live with the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever. And that's by believing that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for you. You must make it personal. I went to a mainline denominational church for many years as a boy growing up in Mississippi. And we sang some of the same hymns that we sing today. We would read from some of the same parts of the Bible as we would read today. There was an atmosphere in which the gospel, I suppose, must have been there. I just never saw it. I never thought about it. It was never pointed out to me. I never understood it. I believe in God. I believe that God had a son called Jesus. I believed that Jesus died on the cross. I didn't know why he died on the cross. I knew that every Easter we had an Easter program and that Jesus rose from the dead. It meant nothing to me. It was out there. It was for the world, for somebody else, but it meant nothing to me. But as many of you know, on August the 29th, 1970, the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and changed my life, and salvation was secured that day.
Amen.
And so when the Bible talks about take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear it, be very careful what you believe in, what you trust, what you put your confidence in, because Christ is the only one, then I know by personal experience and by the word of God, that is the answer. So take heed for salvation. And then we talked about take heed for sanctification. Paul said to Timothy, take heed to thyself, son. And what we mean by that is God expects us as new creatures, born again, new creations through faith in Jesus Christ. He expects us to live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, act like a Christian. I'm amazed, really. You can't save yourself, so Christ dies for you. You can't keep yourself, so he promises to keep you. You wouldn't know what to do, so he's given you his word. You wouldn't know how to understand it, so he gives you his spirit to help you. We couldn't possibly obey, but it is him who lives in us to do his will. We can't be faithful, but he is faithful. And at the end, he brings us to heaven with himself. It's all of God. The whole thing is about the Lord. The whole thing is for the glory of God. The whole thing is for the adoration and appreciation and worship of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, you might hear that, but you don't get that unless you take that first step. And when you take that first step now, you have a wonderful life ahead of you. And God says to you, now I'd like for you to be holy. And you go, oh my, I've never been holy before. How could I possibly be holy? Well, because it's Christ who works in you for his glory. It's because the word of God, when you read it, helps you to understand. The Spirit of God gives you understanding. And now you begin to, as a baby, taking those baby steps, just walk day by day, taking a step in obedience. And as you do that, you know what? You're different. You can't help it. It's Christ that lives in your heart by the power of his Spirit. Your life now is different. You don't have to make it different. You don't have to say, well, I hope this works. It does work, but you must give yourself over to the Lord. You must read the word of God. You must make yourself available, like many dozens of you, maybe over 100 of you today are doing that by Christian fellowship, and you grow in the likeness of Christ. That's called holiness, being set apart. And God uses those who are set apart to him. So we got the foundation, or we've got the necessary foundation of salvation, and then we have take heed to how we live, how we build on this foundation. That's our Christian life. And then he wants to use you. He's given gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. And the most exciting thing is to use them. You don't light a candle. The Bible says put it under a bushel. You know what? It'll burn the bushel down. you can't do that. But the light of Christ in you makes its way out of your hand, out of your mouth, out of your life. And now we use our strength, our energy, our talents, his call, his plan on our life for him. That's called the Christian life. That's serving the Lord Jesus. I served the enemy of the dark for 25 years. How about that? I didn't know it, but I wasn't saved. I thought I was doing my own thing, but I wasn't. I was following in the footsteps of the prince and the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, Satan, devil, the enemy. And thank God, when you trust Christ, you get delivered from the prison of darkness. You get placed into the person of Jesus Christ, and you have an opportunity now to live that out in your life. And so we talked about take heed how you build on that foundation. And then last week we talked about this. Let him that thinks he stands take heed. That's a warning. I told you last week I could give you a list of names, which I'm not going to do. But as I read that list of names and I'm thinking about them, and I get down to the end, I think, oh, Joe, I hope your name is not there. Well, that's our warning. Take heed. Those that think they stand, be careful, pay attention, take nothing for granted. Don't just assume. Joseph and Mary supposed that Jesus was with them. He's back in the temple. They were on their way back to Nazareth. You can't just take things for granted. And so let him that thinks he stands take heed. You know, as I was going back over my material for this last message now in this series, I was thinking, well, who in the Bible does that remind me of? And immediately I thought about Peter. I am not critical of Peter. I identify with Peter in a lot of ways, not so much in the miraculous things that he did, but in some of the most fleshly things that he did. You know, he told the Lord, he said, I'll die. I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. Jesus said, yes, you will. He said, no, I won't. Let him that thinks he stands take heed. Peter fell that night, just like the Lord told him. Three times, I don't know him. I don't know him. Then with an oath, I swear I don't know him. Broken man. Well, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted?
Amen.
I am so thankful the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Oh, God is a God of second chances and third and fourth, and he never gives up on us. And so that's where we were last week. Let him that thinks he stand, let the lady that thinks she stands, let the teenager that thinks they stand, let the adolescent that thinks they stand. For any of us who think we are beyond falling or sinning or in any way denying the Lord, please be careful. Please be careful. And so I want us to turn in my final address to the take heed, not only for salvation and sanctification and service and take heed how we stand, but I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 2 for our last thought about taking heed. Book of Hebrews and chapter 2. I know that some of the translations are different here again, not that the thoughts themselves are different. They are not. But I'll read from the New King James, and then I will refer to another translation as well. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest, the New King James says, lest we drift away. I believe the Old King James says, lest at any time we should slip, or lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, let what slip, or let what drift away? In our verse, the warning is more abundantly take heed is the idea. Give the earnest heed is the way it is written here. So let's think about it for a minute. The things which we have heard. Special attention. Earnest heed. You know why? You know why you need to do that? Because if you rest on the oars, which way do you go? Well, you go downstream whether you want to or not. You drift away. And depending on the speed of the river or the creek, you don't even know it. You just kind of say, oh, what a lovely day. I'm just going to sit back here, pull my paddle in, and I'm just going to take in the sunshine and the singing of the birds and what the beautiful scenery along this river. All that time, almost without knowing it, the canoe or the boat starts to drift, ever so slow, but it drifts. And it goes downstream and downstream. And the next thing you know, if you're not careful, you doze a little bit. The warm sun, the quiet serene, everything is just sort of, and you just close your eyes for a moment, perhaps only to be awakened and startled by rough water because you've hit the rapids downstream. We must give the more earnest heed. Why? Why should we give the more earnest heed? I can tell you, because the enemy of your soul has a plan. He wants you to forget everything that you have ever heard about Jesus Christ. He just wants you to forget it. That's not important. Don't dwell on that. Don't read your Bible. Don't go to Zoom meetings. Don't listen to the gospel. Don't get together with Christians. Recently, we've been praying in our Friday morning men's group. We've been praying for a young believer who has come out of a rather dark life to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this new believer now is being bombarded with voices and thoughts. Don't read your Bible. Don't go to church. Don't sing. Voices. He is being oppressed. He is being opposed in his new found Christian life. And he's just a baby in the Lord. And so we've been praying for him. It doesn't matter if you're 2 months old or 20 years old or 80 years old in the Lord. The devil is out to get you. That's the reason you got to take the more earnest heed. He is relentless. He never gives up. He never quits. He wants to drag you down with him. He doesn't want you to have a testimony. He doesn't want you to grow in your faith. He doesn't want you to be strong in the Lord. He just wants you to give up, rest on the oars, go through the rapids, over the waterfall, down to destruction. That's what he wants to do for you. And so you've got to give the more earnest heed. Now, the two ways to look at this. First of all, it says we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest they drift. I've talked to you about that. The other way that this can be understood, that word drift away or let them slip, the word slip comes from a word that means to flow out. Now, I understand how they get the word drift, flow out, but it can also be represented. You can get it in your mind like this. One drop at a time out of a bucket of water will eventually empty the bucket. To let it slip could be thought of as drip away, just somehow, almost without noticing it, like drifting down the river, leak, like a leaky vessel. If your Christian life is a leaky vessel, you got to fix that. I wonder how many of you have a leaky tap at home. I wonder how many times you have said to your husband or your wife or to your parents or somebody, we got a leaky tap, you know, it just all time dripping all the time. Well, you should fix that because I can tell you it won't drip forever. At some point, something desperate will happen. And the next thing you know, you'll get up and find your basement full of water, or your bathroom full of water, or something has happened because you knew it was leaking and you put it off and put it off and put it off and you never did anything about it. Your Christian life is like that. Would I dare ask the question? You got any leaks in your spiritual life? Anything dripping out? Any prayer, any Bible reading, any fellowship, any witnessing, any contemplation, meditation on the things of God, anything like that, just leaking out just a little, be careful. Be very careful. No tree suddenly falls, you know. No student suddenly fails their course. No marriage suddenly dissolves. No Christian suddenly backslides. It's the little things. And you know, you're just ignoring it. I know, I just ignore it. Oh, Joe, you're a little bit lazy in this area. Joe, you're a little bit slack over here. Joe, if you turned around and looked, you have drifted a little bit. Oh, don't worry about that. I'm not going very fast. I'm not going very far. It's going to be all right. No, it's not going to be okay. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. Go back in your life. You know about salvation. You know about sanctification, setting yourself apart for God. You know about serving the Lord, building on the foundation. You know you better be careful if you think you can't fall. You know that, but what are you doing about it? The Lord Jesus told a parable about enemies came and they sowed tares, weeds among the wheat. If you read the parable closely, Matthew 13, you know what the servants were doing when the enemy came? Sleeping. They were sleeping. You can't sleep in the tent, spiritually speaking. You can't rest on the oars. You can't. You must be alert. You must be on guard. You must pay attention. Recently, I had someone send me a copy of a few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5, of a message that I gave many, many years ago. Just a little clip. I'd forgotten all about it. And I had used the illustration, maybe you have a bird feeder in your yard. Maybe you've seen something like that. When a bird comes down to take the seed or the suet or whatever you got for their food, do you ever see a bird that just went down there and just pigged out till he got full and then flew away? No, you didn't. You know what you see those birds do? Watch me, I'll illustrate it. It goes like this. They take a bite. They take a bite. They take a bite. They're watching. A predator could get them. A house cat could sneak up on them. And those little creatures are forever watching, paying attention closely, taking heed. It will cost them their life. I'm suggesting that Christians are gouging themselves, gorging themselves on what? They just got their head into the world and they're just pigging out. They don't know what's going on. They don't care what's around them. They don't realize things are dripping out of their lives. They're drifting away from the Christian life. The devil doesn't want you to be aware of that, of course. So let's go to James chapter 1. You're in Hebrews 2. Next book, please. James chapter 1. How would I deal with this problem? I think the old King James says, lest at any time you let them slip, let them slip. Do you know there are things in your life that are not exactly on target and you're just ignoring it? Well, I got the remedy. James chapter 1, verse 22, please. James chapter 1, verse 22. The writer said, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, a lot of people, if they're going to quote that verse, they stop right there. That's not the end of that verse. Notice the last two words, deceiving yourselves. See, that's what you do if you're just a hearer. If you're just a hearer and you're not a doer, you just deceive yourself. You think, oh, I went to Bible study. Somebody read the Bible. I heard that. Oh, that's great. Okay, I'm good to go for the day. No, you're not. You just deceived yourself. That's all you did. Verse 2. If anyone is just a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man looking in in his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, immediately he forgets what manner of man he was. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, he's not forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now, the two thoughts are hearing, doing. Doing, hearing. Got it? And so James says, look, if you just hear the word of God and you don't do anything about it, it's like a man going to a mirror. You go to a mirror and you go, hey, Joe, you don't look bad today. Hair is okay. Okay. No, Joe, you look terrible today. Your hair is not combed. Your face is dirty. You got smudge all over the thing, you know? And I go, Joe, that's terrible. You look awful. And I go, oh, well, at least I looked. At least I looked. And I walk away and I don't do anything about it. You know what the moral of that story is? Why bother looking? You didn't do anything. You just looked. That's all you did. And so he said, it's the same thing if you take the Bible. You hear the Bible. You hear a message. Take heed, warning, warning, do this, do that. And you go, oh, I got it. I listened to that. Yep, that's good. I got it. All right, I'm good to go. No, you're not. You deceived yourself. The only way you're good to go is if you do it. Now, let me ask you. If you read anything or heard anything lately and you know it's not right in your life, but you didn't do anything about it, well, you're just a hearer. And you're just deceiving yourself. And dear friend, you're in trouble. Because one day the bucket's going to be empty. One day the boat's going over the falls. One day it's going to be too late. What is the answer? Proactive, preventative maintenance. Stay close. Keep short accounts. Confess your sin to God. Walk with the Lord. Obedient Christian. And we would say from James, be a doer of the work. Doer, not just a listener. So I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to move on. Are you a doer? Or are you just a hearer? You're just a listener. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5. We were in chapter 2 of Hebrews. Go back to chapter 5. Thinking about how I can anchor my soul and not be drifting down the river of the world. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by, here's my punchline, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're thinking about stop the drifting. We're thinking about stop the drip. We're thinking about stop letting things slip out of our lives that we know we need. James says, don't be a hearer, be a doer. And right here, the Hebrew writer here says the same thing. You've been saved long enough, you ought to know it, but you don't know it. And the reason you don't know it is because you know things in your life and you're not doing it. You're not practicing it. That little phrase, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. We have a little cliche, you know what it is. You either use it or you lose it. That's the way that goes. So do you know anything in your life that you should be doing, you're not doing? That's my point. This is not rocket science. Evaluation. Just own it. Just say, oh, Lord, I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. John chapter 13, and then I'll be through. John chapter 13. The Lord Jesus is about to wash the disciples' feet. Great lessons, wonderful application to the servant king, the servant savior. And he did that. And he gave them that great lesson. But I just want to jump to the punchline, verse 17 of John 13. Verse 17, Jesus now saying to those disciples that he just gave this wonderful, visual, real-time, technicolor, hands-on, if you please, lesson to them. He says, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. You got that? To be blessed and to be happy doesn't come from knowing them. Doesn't come from just hearing the word. That doesn't come from just being 25 years old in Christ. You've been saved long enough. What's going on? The bottom line is you got to do it. Like, just do it. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you do them, folks, my goodness. The Christian life is not, well, it's hard, but it's simple. It's hard, but it's simple. Just obey. Just trust God. Just read your Bible and say, God, I need to know how to do that. I'm not doing that. I got an area of my life over here I'm not doing very good in. And last week was bad. This week is worse. Next week, I don't know where I'm going to be. I need to work on that. Would you help me work on that? Give the more earnest heed. Or you're going to be on somebody's list. Some preachers, no, they're not going to name you. They won't even say where you're from, but they'll tell your story of a person who didn't pay close attention. He was just a hearer. Oh, he knew the Bible. Oh, he could quote the scriptures, but he never did it. Never put it into practice. Never used it. That's a sad story. In our text, which we won't go back to, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How are you going to escape hell if you don't trust Christ? How are you going to escape the judgment seat and having nothing to say for the Lord unless you take heed of the things you've heard? Don't fear. You can't do it. But if you trust him, Christ in you will do it. His spirit working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. You can't do it. You just humbly present yourself, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, and just say, oh, God, I can't do it. And he says, yeah, I know, but I can do it for you if you let me. I'll work with you if you let me. So, hi, are you prepared to meet God in 2021? I hope so. I trust that we will all be prepared, but you got to do something. Can't sleep spiritually. You can't rest spiritually. The enemy is on the prowl. He's roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Please, please be careful. Let's pray. Father, your word is yea and amen. Your promises are true. You never lie. We have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. We have no excuse from not experiencing the abundant life. And so, Father, by your Spirit, would you whisper in each heart, is the need salvation? Do they not have that? Is the need sanctification? Is the need building on the foundation? Could the need possibly be that they think they're doing okay, they're not going to stumble? Well, then, Lord, please, may all of us give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we backslide, drift away, let them slip. In Jesus' name, amen.